Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. I am glad you're here. Because time and distance are no barrier to energy, it means that whenever you're listening, no matter how you got here, you're here for a reason. And I hope something you hear in the next hour lifts you up and helps you move forward. Now, you've heard people say that life is supposed to be a celebration, but maybe you're not experiencing it that way. Creative living coach Jamie Ridler is my guest on today's show. And if you feel like you're missing out, like some of the shine has gone out of your life, she's here to share how reawakening your creativity can be the key to inspiring authentic living and getting you back into the celebration. I will introduce you to Jamie in just a moment, but first, yesterday's bombings at the Boston Marathon inspired healer and spiritual teacher Sophie Lost to write a very moving blog post about the theme of violence in her own life and how we all, as creators of light, can add our energy to the mix to raise the vibration in times of anger and tragedy and sorrow. And if you're wondering what you can possibly do to change the world, to make things better, I wanted to share just a short excerpt from her post. This is what Sophie writes. On a spiritual level, I would like each one of us to own our inner violence and our inner disrespect for others and to change that now, today. Get started on that as you read this. And I would like each one of us to be very aware of what we think, of what we wish for, of what we bring forth, and of what we manifest. Now is the time to create better. Now is the time to be mindful of our creative power and to make sure that we use it only for good. May all involved in today's trauma, from victims and rescuers to perpetrators, be supported and healed. May you be blessed as a creator of light, respect, love, and dialogue. That's from Sophie Lost, and you can read the entire post at attunementsforthesoul.com and then click on the blog tab at the top of the page. Sophie's blog is always excellent, but this especially touched me as I found out the news late in the day yesterday, and as I was kind of reeling from the fact that all this had happened, and also that everyone had known about it kind of sooner than me, and I was trying to sort of catch up on it, coming across her post really brought me back to center, really helped me think about what are the ways in which I, as a spiritual being, can make change, can start to bring some more light into the world. So I commend that to your attention. And my website is fogcitypsychic.com. That's the place to go for information about upcoming classes and events. And you can even book a private session with me if you are so inclined. If you're looking for compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive advice, I hope that you will get in touch. fogcitypsychic.com. And now, Jamie Ridler is a creative living coach and the director of Jamie Ridler Studios. From the much-loved Creative Living with Jamie podcast to the popular Sparkles e-course, Jamie's work helps women find the confidence and the courage to discover and express their creative selves so they can be the star they are. You can find out more about Jamie and her work at openthedoor.ca. Jamie, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you so much, Karen. I am so delighted to be here. I'm just beaming at you from Toronto.
Oh, hooray. Thank you very much. Is it spring in Toronto?
Oh, I wish I could say it was spring today. It's a little gray. We have to make our own sunshine today.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Important to generate our own light. I'm in southeastern Michigan. It's very gray here today as well, but all those bulbs that were sleeping under the ground are starting to come up. I've got little mini daffodils that I don't actually remember planting coming out in the yard.
I love this time of year for just that. It always reminds me, it just brings me to life and reminds me of how much possibility there is. And I love that you have surprise daffodils, little daffodil delights this spring for you.
They're either surprise daffodils or senility daffodils. You know what I mean? So we'll have to see, or else I'll never know. Actually, I probably will never know. So I'm going to call them surprise daffodils. What a wonderful gift from the universe of those surprise daffodils. I was reading that blog post just right before I brought you on the air, and that Sophie wrote about the bombings at the Boston Marathon. Of course, there's so much in the world going on that feels like it runs counter to the message that you and I and people like us are trying to put out there. In the face of something like this, violence and tragedy and sorrow, is there a positive creative response? And what is that? What do we do?
Such a good question. And I noticed just as we're talking about it, you know, my heart is literally beating a little harder. I think there's a way that we get kind of raw and tender when big and difficult things like this happen in the world. And one of the first responses we can have creatively is to allow ourselves to process our feelings. Art has this great capacity to hold more than we feel we can hold ourselves. So if we're feeling really tender, raw, angry, sad, heartbroken, take that to the page, you know, take it to the paint, take it to the dance floor, put on some music and let that flow through you. There's a way we need to let these dark experiences, they're in us, they touch us, and we need to let them pass through. And I really think that art and creativity can be a part of that. And then after that, like once we've started to shift that energy for us, I think it's so powerful to add creative energy to the world. You know, creativity by its very nature is the opposite of destruction. And I think, especially at a time when people feel a great sense of despair, that when we can share our creative thoughts, our words, our poetry, our art, we can remind ourselves of the light that is also in humanity, of the kindness, of the caring, of the excitement, of the joy, of the celebration. And I think that's really crucial at the same time as being honestly with the truth of what happens.
And that kind of expression doesn't just make us feel better in the moment. It, I believe, actually changes the balance, the energetic balance in the world, right? I believe that light always overcomes darkness, but that doesn't happen with us sitting back and going, yep, light always overcomes darkness, we'll be fine. We have to actually be generating the light.
Yeah, just like we were saying, you know, about bringing light to these gray days. You know, we were just talking about the weather, but this is deeper, too. That metaphor continues to work. And I think you're right. I love that, you know, we sort of spiritual people also have to take those things we believe in into action. And being creative, engaging in some kind of self-expression, it's such a beautiful and fun way to do just that, to get into action on those things we most deeply believe and generate that energy. And also, to, you know, just like there is a ripple effect of these tragedies that happen in the world, there is a ripple effect when we start to share light and goodness. People get inspired, and then they go and paint or draw or show up or contribute or sing, and it just spreads. And that is a really powerful energy we can contribute to here in this world.
Yes, absolutely. And part of that also, I would say, is the power of prayer. I believe in prayer as a creative force as well, because as we set our intentions, as we open up, not just to receive from the divine, but then to allow that divine energy to pass through us in prayer, I believe that that's another way that we let light in. Do you do you see prayer as creative in that way, or is that something sort of different?
Well, for me it is, and in fact, I love that you said one of my favorite projects that I've had recently, and I used this for the experience in Boston, was I created a blessing bowl. And what it is it's a bowl that holds prayers from me. So first I put in something that was an offering. So I change it every month. So one month I put in a flower, and this month I put in beautiful little glass beads. And then I just create a little, sort of the size of a business card piece of paper. And on one side I put my prayer. You know, I ask for blessings for my loved ones, or I ask for blessings for people who've been touched by this tragedy. And on the other side, as another little offering, I cut out a picture from a magazine and glue it on, something of great beauty, something that somehow would bring a smile to the divine, and I put it in my bowl. And that's a way for me to tangibly, creatively send my prayers out into the world.
And that isn't magic like poof, hey presto, everything's different. It's magic because it taps into that divine flow of connection, of creativity that's in all of us all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, because it's somewhere I can see it, it also is a constant reminder of those prayers for me. It keeps allowing me to send energy to all of those people or places or whatever it is that I put in there. And it keeps me really actively engaged with sending out that positive energy in the world.
Maybe that's another thing about the power of creative expression, is that I'm thinking about how you having the blessing bowl there, that's something you can touch, it's something you can look at, it's a reminder. If I create something creatively and send it out into the world, or even send it out only as far as like in front of my face, you can listen to the song or see the painting or read what I've written, or, you know, feel the feelings in your body of the dance. And you take a thought or an intention, a wish, a dream, and you've done something with it.
Yes. I think it's a huge reminder of the power of creativity and the power of us. It's an amazingly empowering experience. I always say that one of my favorite things to ever experience is, once there was nothing, and now there is something. And that could be cookies, you know, or it could be dinner, or it could, but this reminds us of what we're capable of in this world, that once there was nothing, and now through our intention, through our ideas, through our effort, through our action, through our creative capacity, there is something in the world that wasn't there just moments ago.
What if I feel like, and this is hypothetical, that I've been, you know, drawing the same way since I was about 7 years old, and so what I put out in the world might not be, it might be lame or rigid or stupid.
Oh, that just hurts my heart so much. And I know we go through that, and so many people have gone through that because they've actually had the horrifying experience of people reflect that back to them, often in a really tender formative time. I talked to so many people who, when they were 7 and they were drawing, you know, and they made the grass purple, the teacher was like, nope, that is wrong, or you can't draw a horse, or whatever it is. And that sticks with us for a very long time. And it's one of the reasons why I do the work that I do, because I believe when we shut down our creative capacity, even if it's drawing grass or a horse, we start to doubt ourselves in a really profound way. We start to not believe in our ability to create. So I think one thing is to allow ourselves just the joy and experience of painting, of singing, of not worrying, really unattaching from the result. And also being as loving with ourselves as we would with our children. Or I just can't imagine, you know, even though I know teachers have done this, myself, if somebody came up to me and said, look, Jaylee, look what I mean, as I do to my husband all the time, by the way. You know, the response really needs to be one of love and compassion and, yay, you, gold star. And we can be that person for ourselves. We can be that person that says, gold star, you showed up today. Gold star, I love that purple. Gold star, you tried. Like, all the really find your way of nurturing that part of yourself. And if it matters to you, like if there is something in your heart that says, but I really, really, really want to draw a tree that looks like a tree, allow yourself the time to develop that skill. We didn't walk straight out of the gate. We didn't know how to tie our shoes straight out of the gate. There is a way. There is something to learn here. And that can be joyful and wonderful. And so be forgiving of our early efforts and allow ourselves to grow into the artist that is in our heart.
As I was listening to you say that, and I was the reason that this has come up for me is that I've found that as I'm working with clients, I've noticed I look down at my little notebook that I have in front of me and I've noticed that I've been doodling, right? Mm-hmm. That I've just been drawing and not like I'm channeling the doodles, but just I haven't been paying attention and I'm just kind of drawing. And there's a real difference to me in the rigidity that is in my, like if you said, Karen, draw a person, very rigid, very much the way I would have done it when I was seven or in high school or however, right?
Yeah.
And it's very different from the fluidity that I find in what I make when I'm not paying attention.
That is so interesting. I remember when I was in psychology class at university, they actually did an experiment with us where they had us draw exactly that, like draw a house and a person and a dog. You know, we all right now, I bet everyone has the image of their head of what that looks like, you know, the rectangle and the triangle on top and the smoke coming out of the chimney. And then the instructor asked them to draw home and he put on music. And something really shifted for people. One, that it was something specific and personal. Home is different for everyone. It connected to something deeper than draw a house. And two, there was something about music that did exactly what you described. It loosened up a part of our brain and allowed us to connect to a different kind of energy. And everyone's drawings were extraordinarily different once they took that approach.
And I wonder if that sort of rigidity as opposed to flexibility has to do with what we feel like we are allowed to offer to the world.
Mm-hmm.
If all I have to offer you is my 7-year-old drawing of a face, which I've already been told is not very good and doesn't even look like a face, that's going to color how I feel about what I'm allowed to give.
You're going to self-censor before you get anywhere. You know, I think that is a really big thing. We sort of shut down and hide. And I think this is a tragedy. The world really, I really deeply believe the world needs all of our gifts. And this is a way of discovering what they are and expressing what they are in the world. I mean, not everybody, I have a sort of two takes on this. One, I really believe that everyone's creative, so I really believe we have to open up our definition of what that means. And it doesn't just mean dance, and it doesn't just mean theater, and it doesn't just mean painting. It really means what you choose to wear today, how you throw a birthday party for your loved one, how you plant your garden with wonderful, delightful daffodil surprises. That is a part of our creative spirit. And I also believe deeply that the arts belong to all of us and that we all get to sing and we all get to dance and we all get to paint. And I think you're right that there's a way if we can open up and get a little looser, get a little freer, let go of expectations of what that has to mean, we will discover we have more to offer than we ever imagined.
And I would even nudge that out a little further and say it's not even just that we're all creative, it's that we're all creating. See, I believe we're creating right now in whatever way. It's about how do we have a lens so that we can focus on what it is that we're creating. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I absolutely. It's so funny because as we're having this conversation, I'm like, of course, we are having a conversation. This will be a show. This is a show that people are listening to. We are creating right in this moment. And it makes me think so funny, Karen. You know, I studied theater in university, and I remember being so intimidated by improv. I thought it was the hardest thing in the world to do until I understood we improv our lives every single day.
Yeah.
when we walk out the door, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who we're going to bump into or who's going to say what to us. And in that response to the world, how we respond is literally creating our lives.
Mm. One of the things, now see, I also studied theater and worked as an actor for a long time, and I loved improv. And one of the things I loved the best about it was how, when I was learning how to, pardon me, you know, improv in a group, that you never said no to anything, you always said yes and, right? So if you and I are improvising a situation and I say, hey, Jamie, want to go for a ride in my invisible car? And you go, no. Oh, short improv, I guess. But if you say, yes, I'll ride in your invisible car and I'll bring my pony, right? Then now we can, now we got something we can, you know, we can go with it. And that yes and comes up for me so much as I think about my own life. What will I create? What do I want to do? How do I handle it when something comes up that stops me or is an obstacle or scares me or that I don't want to deal with? Can I say yes and to that, even in the face of something I don't want?
This is such a key point too, you know, and I think as a creative person, we are always, this is one of the things I think about, you know, creative people have kind of a reputation for being wild and crazy, you know, like being rule breakers. And in fact, a lot of the creative people I know work very strongly within structures, work best within some kind of constraint. So instead of just saying, hey, write a blog post, and it can be about anything, say, hey, could you write a blog post that responds to creatively, positively to what happened in Boston? Suddenly there's a focus and there's something to work with. And I think that if we look at exactly the kind of situation you're describing, something happens in your life. It's not what you would have chosen, but it is suddenly, it is a constraint. And that constraint can put a frame around a really positive way to focus your creativity that is meaningful right here, right now.
And when you allow yourself to express that in whatever way, you free yourself, I think, to say yes and, to maybe to live the yes and.
It's so funny because I'm really thinking through, I'm thinking through about how hard it is for us to say the yes part when it's something we don't want. And I'm curious about, I'm just wondering, I don't know the answer to this, whether we can't get to the and until we've said the yes. So we're sort of in this dance of resistance with the situation until we say yes. Like you said, that's a very short improv. You know, we're sort of going through it again and again and again until we can come to the point of saying yes. And
oh my gosh! And you know that big thing that I always say about helping people move from fear to love. Fear paralyzes. Fear stops you. Fear makes for a very short improv. Fear is no.
Yes.
You know, and love is the yes. Love is the expansion. And yes doesn't mean, yes, I'm so happy that something terrible and violent and evil happened. Yes means, yes, I see this. Yes, I acknowledge this. Yes, I am present with this thing that's happening right now. And I'm going to make a different choice about this. I'm going to do something to change it. I'm going to do something to change myself. Mm-hmm. It's the spiritual equivalent of you getting in my invisible car and bringing your pony.
Yeah.
You want to get off?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's true. I think that maybe fear is the no and love is the yes. And when we shut down our kids, when we shut down ourselves with that no, no, stay inside the lines, no, you know that grass isn't purple, we lose something really valuable there.
I absolutely think so. And I really I'm thinking about the power of that yes. And it's kind of like if somebody gave me a palette, like if I had these five colors, these, you know, and I'm going, oh man, there's no purple. I'm just, you know, and I'm just upset about there being no purple. I'd have nothing to create. Or if somebody was, well, this could be cool actually. I was going to say, if somebody was giving me hip hop music and I'm like, well, I want to dance ballet today. Could be cool, you know, but maybe there is a gift in me stretching outside of what I was originally going to do. I have to say that when I go back over my life, some of the times that were the hardest, the worst, the ones I was most resistant to, were the ones that ultimately created the most powerful, positive change in my life. So, you know, once I decided that I would try dancing to hip hop.
Now we're coming right up against that break. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is creative living coach Jamie Riddler. You can find out more about her and her work at openthedoor.ca. We'll be right back after this.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
That was a joke.
Oh.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over a million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home, I'm home, and I love it, I'm home, I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home, I'm home, where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio, empowerradio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest on today's show is creative living coach Jamie Riddler. She's the director of Jamie Riddler Studios, which is a wonderful place to explore, I don't know, all things sparkly and creative and wonderful. You can find out more about Jamie and her work at openthedoor.ca. And if you trade her your name and email address, you can be a member of Jamie Riddler Studios, and you get an email from her with all these treasures in it. Jamie, tell about the treasures that people get.
I love sharing treasures. It's just the best. So if you join the studio, one of the things you get is a free workshop on how to make a dream board. This is a practice that I partake in every month and has really changed my life. You also get a free ebook about dreams and how they really do come true, because I think it's important for us to hear each other's stories. You get a guided meditation that'll connect you to your creative self, and you get an opportunity once a month to have a live creativity coffee with me online, and it is so much fun. Everyone always shows up with great enthusiasm and shares awesome resources, and we laugh a lot.
Laughter is creative too, though. I think we make we make connection through our laughter. I feel that laughter raises the vibration, right? Laughter's creative as well.
Absolutely. And I think there's something about laughter that keeps us free and open. You know, I definitely notice that when my laughter most often shows up is when I'm feeling really awesome and connected and alive with the people I'm with or with whatever I'm engaging in. Because I can laugh at my cat. Well, I can't really say laugh with my cat because Jinx doesn't laugh. But, you know, I'm not laughing at James.
Cats don't take mockery very well or perceived mockery. They tend to get up and walk away.
They did, much like me. I think Jinx and I share that in common.
We were talking before the break about the power of creativity to make a shift in the energy. And I'm wondering if we talked about using intention and sort of physicalizing that intention, making something to make change. I'm wondering how creativity ties in with abundance for you, because it feels like that's all related to me.
Oh, it does to me too. And even in the simple act of when I am creating abundantly, when I am sharing my ideas, when I am going from one thought to another, it reminds me of the nature of the universe. It reminds me that where one idea is spent, another idea arrives. And one of the things I have definitely found is that the more we ration our creative spirit, you know, like I'm only going to share so many ideas and I'm a little concerned that if I share this one, someone's going to take it. It dampens down our energy and our drive, and it shuts off that flow. And I think that's representative of all kinds of abundance. Whenever we're trying to control and tighten and keep it small, we lessen what we have, what we're capable of, and what we can share. And the more generous and open we are, the more we notice all the amazing abundance that's out there. I mean, in any, I could look around the space around me and come up with 5,000 ideas. Really, you know, because there's something on my wall. There's what's out my window. There's what my cat's doing right now. Oh, look, I have a guitar in the corner. You know, and there's just everywhere something to engage with. And that reminds me of the huge richness that's available in the world.
Do you ever connect with people who feel like they're kind of missing out on life? When they look around them, they don't see all those possibilities. When they feel like they just, everyone kind of went on without them and they missed all the fun that life is supposed to be?
Oh, I so know. I work with a lot of clients that are going through that. A lot of my creative journey started with I was that person who had the soul-numbing day job that meant nothing to them. I'm a late bloomer, so I always feel like I'm a little bit behind everybody else. I felt behind when I was going to theater school. You know, it's so funny. I felt behind. I think I was 26. Mm-hmm. You know? I was like, oh, but that's such a good reminder for me, too, to think if I could go back and speak to my 26-year-old self and say, Jamie, you're so young. There's so much that's possible. Then I know my 65-year-old self is saying that to me today. Mm-hmm. And that there is possibility for change. And one of the things I always tell people to do, this is something I really take a stand for with my clients, is you do not have to wait in order to enjoy and love and experience what it is you are aching for. Your whole life does not have to change. It will, it can, and that's a process. And today, plant the seed. Today, don't stay in the office. Go out for lunch with your iPod and your journal. Remove yourself from that situation. Immerse yourself in music you love. If you walk, sway your hips like you're dancing. Arrive at a coffee shop and pretend you're a writer and just journal for that hour. Start to tap into whatever it is that you're aching for. Go out and buy that dress, even if you can't wear it to work. You know, like really look for the places that you can start to touch and experience and be alive with what it is you're trying to open up to, so that you can, because you need a little bit of something, something in your heart to know that it's true. And the more you can taste it, the more you can start to trust it, And the more you can start to make decisions that will slowly but surely start to steer your ship back to the place you want to be, back to the place you can be celebrating.
Hmm. That's like an experiment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just for this lunch hour, I'm gonna try this, or I'll pretend that I'm a writer, or just for this lunch hour, I'm gonna be a woman of mystery who goes to the new coffee shop and watches everyone or whatever. It's an experiment.
It can be so playful. Like, imagine ordering your coffee as if you were a world famous Academy Award winning actress. Why not? Right? And just see what feels different. Notice how your body feels different. Notice, do you carry yourself differently? How do you speak to people differently? Do you? And see which pieces of that. Some of that may feel awkward and like, that's not really me. I notice when I'm being an Academy Award winning actress, I'm kind of snobby. I don't like that. That's not me. But I might be like, I'm really confident. I walk in there owning the room, and I do like that. So keep that. And notice that you can feel that way today. You didn't have to wait for anything. Mm-hmm. You just had to take that on and allow yourself to experience it today.
Mm. And all those externals, I'll embrace my creativity when I lose 80 pounds, when I make $300,000 a year, when I get my nose fixed or whatever, all those externals, that's like the rigidity that is trying to keep you inside the lines. And there's no reason you have to stay in the lines.
No way. And in fact, I really think that by the time people are thinking about this, what they know is staying within the lines is breaking my heart.
Mm.
Staying within the lines is breaking my spirit. And that cannot go on another day. Right? So again, your whole life isn't going to change in a day, or it might, because amazing things happen. But you need to loosen that corset right now. You need to breathe right now. And for all of us, what that means might be something different. It may mean going out with a girlfriend who makes you laugh, and that reminds you of who you are. For me, I know when I was in a very difficult time in my life, when I was in a relationship that wasn't good for me, I was doing the wrong thing for me, I felt so oppressed, and I did not recognize myself. That's when I knew it was the worst. One of my brother's friends, who had been a friend of our family since he was like five, he had always known me, and he said, "I've never seen Jamie angry like that."
Mm.
And I thought, that's not me. That's not me. So I ended up literally going out nightclubbing. And on the dance floor, that was for me. This is me. I remember this person. I recognize her. I recognize how she loves to move and smile and be in the music and under the lights. And that let me feel again myself. And that was the beginning of changing my entire life. So for all of us, it might be something different. And sometimes it can be something very simple, like choosing to say, if you habitually go along with your friends and go to X restaurant at lunch, and you actually don't really like it. If one time you say, "Hey guys, could we go here?" That can be the beginning. Literally, because you're recognizing who you are, what you like, and you're expressing it out loud. This is a huge, empowering act of creativity, and it will start to change things.
As you moved from theater training to the soul-sucking job into your powerful place where you are now as a creative living coach, how did you know that the creative living coach is the right thing? It feels like it is you, so I feel like I know that it's the right thing. How did you know it was the right thing?
Well, I got to tell you, it took me a long time to find it. And when I found it, one of the places I started looking, and this is a great recommendation for people as a place to start, is I looked for, what are the things that have been with me always? What are the things that have always been true about Jamie? And what I came up with was sort of a triumvirate of things, which was creating, being, being in charge. But it was true, being independent, showing leadership, wanting to make things happen myself, not having somebody else tell me what to do, but being self-determining. I've always been like that, much to my dad's chagrin, but true. And helping people, wanting to make a difference in the world, wanting to be a force for good in the world. So a force for good, being a leader, fiercely independent, and creativity were like, those were the things. And I started to look for what combines that. And when I found coaching, I felt very at home in it. And that sort of took in the helping people part. And I thought, well, that's kind of working for yourself. And that took in the leadership part. And then slowly over time, I started to really attract creative people. And I remembered, this is me, and I can bring all these things together in one place. So it took some time. It's an amazing experience, Karen, because it took some time to get here, and then once I was here, I was like, of course this is where I'm heading, of course.
I had a long, strange journey to the work that I do now, and yet when I got here, I felt the same way. Mm. This was so obvious. But here it is. I'm in it. I'm living it. Yes, of course. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Had that same feeling.
You know, I think a part of it is actually really connected to what we were talking about before, is allowing yourself to let go of rigidity, let go of the lines, and be open to some, I always think of it as, I have my own inner compass. It knew that those three things were my touchstone. And I opened up to signs. You know, when my sister invited me out to the dance club, that was, I had to say yes. You know, if I said, no, I'm a graduate student, I'm past that, I need to be working right, who knows what would have happened. But I had to say yes. I had so many of the wonderful things that have happened in my life or that have gotten me on the right path were me seeing something going, oh, that looks interesting, I'll try that. And that's real. So there's a way, and maybe it's also because I love that magical mystery adventure of life. That's important to me, to not always know what's going to happen and not try to control what's going to happen and instead bring what I have and dance with what else is out there in the world.
You've created a really powerful community, small group of women who I meet, I think, throughout the year. And this strikes me when you're talking about your sister inviting you to the club. Maybe for those of us who don't have a sister to say, hey, I've never seen you so angry, come dancing. Can you talk a little bit about Circe's Circle and what that is and what the power is behind it?
I'd be so delighted. I really believe, and in my experience now of several years as a coach, circles of women are powerful forces. And there are so many women that are aching to connect with like-minded spirits and people who will believe, people who won't be naysayers, people who will believe that they can do whatever it is they set their heart on doing. And so I run this small coaching program. I run it several seasons of the year, and it's limited to 7 women, and some kind of magic happens in that group. I ask people to bring something they want to create. So it might be an ebook, it might be a workshop, or it might literally be, I want to create my creative life. I want to create a creative practice. I want to create a body of photography work. And through that creative practice, through having a project to develop, these women come alive. They do. They find their confidence through making steps and saying out loud what they desire, and they support each other in really profound ways. And these groups, always these women end up staying connected. Real friendships, real bonds are found, because I think once you meet up with like-spirited people, hang on. Like, really, tend that relationship like the tree that it is. It's so precious in our lives to have those connections.
Mm. And people can find out more about Circe's Circle at openthedoor.ca. Who's Circe? I ought to know, and I don't.
She is a goddess. She is a goddess of transformation, which is why I chose her to sort of be the patron goddess of this circle. Now, I do have to say that what she was known for was turning soldiers into pigs. But I figure if she can use that power that way, we can use that power any way we like. So the goddess of transformation, Circe.
So if your creative dream is to turn a soldier into a pig, then
you
open the door.
You must get into the circle.
You really want to work with Jamie because she's fantastic. How many soldiers have you turned into pigs now? It must be hundreds over the years.
Amazing. I am so amazed by all the things that have come out of this circle. I mean, the friendships and the connection, but also membership sites, businesses, paintings, photography, books, like anything you can think of that you see, particularly online, it has come to life in one form or another through Circe Circle.
Mm. Now you said e-course, and that reminds me that you have a little kind of a contest you want to offer to the listeners so that they can get a scholarship to the Sparkles e-course. Can you say a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Now, Sparkles is such a delightful e-course. When you sign up for it, you get 31 days of 31 prompts to bring your creativity to life in less than 5 minutes a day. Because what I was hearing from people was the biggest barrier to their creativity was time. And I was like, it doesn't have to take time. So I enlisted a whole bunch of amazing creative teachers in all sorts of disciplines, from dance to photography to writing to sound, and they created these wonderful prompts to really awaken your creative spirit in a fun, playful, quick, and easy way. And so if people are listening, if you want to send me an email with your favorite way to let your creativity shine, just send it to Jamie, that's Jamie, at openthedoor.ca. I will enter you into a draw for the e-course, and I will pick a winner and let you know, and you can get started on this amazing, sparkling journey.
Wow. I love the idea that it's something that comes to me every day and it only takes a few minutes, because that's one of the biggest obstacles sometimes to people when you get that little creative tingle or whatever, and then you're like, well, no, I got to do these 500 other things first and then I'll get to it later. And you don't get to it, right?
Yeah, and this also, too, we tried to make it super easy by not even, you don't need any special tools. You know, probably some paper, a pen, your iPod, you know, or some music, the capacity to listen to music, that's it. So it's easy. There's really very few barriers here so that you can start to experience it. And each of these exercises are things you can do again and again and again. You know, so once you get used to carrying your camera around you and looking for something special, you can do that over and over again in your own way and say, you know what, this week I'm carrying my camera and I'm just looking for blue. I'm just going to take pictures of blue. I love blue. I'm going to immerse myself in blue. Easy peasy. Mm. So there's a way that it can make it really easy here at the start, fast, simple, no special tools, and give you all sorts of fun things to play with well past the 31 days of the course.
Wow. So if you would like to be entered to win a scholarship to Sparkles, that 31-day e-course, you can email Jamie. It's jamie@openthedoor.ca, and let her know your favorite way to let your creativity shine. Now, when I think about Jamie Riddler Studios, I've never met you, Jamie, but I imagine you, and I imagine you in your studio. And one of the things I like about your website is there are photographs in there that I feel like they're like little windows into what your physical space is like. Mm-hmm. How important is that physical space for you? As a center for your work, what is the physical space like around you?
It's been really important. In fact, this year I went through a big studio refresh. So I shared a lot of that on my blog as we went from mess to beauty. And it's been incredibly important to have some space that is really dedicated to my creativity. And in over my life, that's taken different forms. Luckily for me now, I have a studio space. It's an office space. It has windows that look out onto a big, beautiful tree that I am so friends with. I just watch her go through the seasons, and she's my companion as I work. I have my dream board up on the wall. I now have two desks. One, I call them like my right brain desk and my left brain desk, because one is where I sit and work at the computer and plan things and strategize, and then the other one is kind of like my art and writing desk. And that has made an enormous difference for me to have an open space that has markers and pens and paper and my journals that literally I can just walk right up to, sit down, and spend 5 minutes and have everything within arm's reach to just write for a little bit, to just draw for a little bit, to just collage for a little bit. So that, again, it removes, I love removing barriers. I want the creativity to just flow. And that has really worked for me. It's also been really nice for those of you who share spaces with other loved ones. I think there is something profoundly important about having even a little corner of your home where you are the exclusive arbiter of what goes up there. You do not have to discuss the paint color. You do not have to discuss what goes on the walls. You do not have to negotiate whether that sparkly chandelier goes into the room. I found that incredibly important to have a place that's absolutely where I am free to absolutely be me and not have to think about anybody else's priorities, loves, likes other than mine. It's a treat.
And you can do that even if you don't have very much room.
Absolutely. It can literally be your bedside table. You know, like just a little corner of space where it's like, what is on my bedside table is the book that I love right now. I have a little wall. It's so funny. It's a sculpture of a walrus that I got in Delft, Holland. And my husband, who's such, is like, what does a walrus have to do with Delft? I'm like, I don't know. I just got it here and I love it. So, and I have a really amazing crystal bubbly lamp. And so my husband is really lovely that way. He got it for me. It for him, it's like, I don't understand, Jamie, why you like that. But that's what I have on my night table. So yes, it can just be a small space. And, you know, if you don't have a physical space you feel you can do that in, do it in your journal. Like, buy a journal and just have in it the colors you love. Use the pen you love. Put in pictures of things you love. I really think that one of the most important things we can do to stay in touch with our hearts and ourselves is have some safe place to fully, uncensored, express what we love and who we are. And I think a journal is a great way that everybody can do that.
Mm. And having that safe space, whether it's physical space or kind of internal space,
mm-hmm.
I feel that when we are able to express who we really are, that opens up relationship for us. It opens up abundance for us. It opens up opportunity. It opens us up to the divine. That's so important.
We are all wildly shiny. And so the more we can, like, kind of remove any of those things that are overlaying our shine, you know, the more we can be open, the more we can know what our shine is, the more other people can see it, recognize it, be drawn to it, because light attracts light. And truly, I really believe we are all those beings of light. So the more we can shine that out through our words, through our eyes, through our heart, through our love, the more opportunity we have to find one another.
Mm. And to find one another in genuine connection.
Yes.
Not that no connection or that rigidity connection, but in genuine connection that makes change.
Oh, and there's something so painful when we're showing up in disguise and people fall in love with us because they happen to love that disguise, that just destroys, like, it really knocks us down inside because, one, they fell for the disguise, and two, they love that, not us. So really, the more we can eliminate the disguise and the more we can show up in the world as we truly are, I think you're so on that we can make authentic, real connections, and the world has an opportunity to receive what we and only we uniquely are here to give.
Oh, Jamie, thank you so much for being on the show today. Can you remind people about your website and all the delightful things that they will find when they're there?
Absolutely. Everyone come on over to Jamie Ridley Studios. Just come by openthedoor.ca. Join the studio. It's free. There's lots of treasures, a great community, things to participate in. We make wishes every week. We make dream boards every month. I can't wait to see everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. That's just a wonderful conversation, and I really appreciate you. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you. That is Jamie Riddler. Her website is openthedoor.ca. And if you'd like to be entered to win a scholarship in her Sparkles e-course, just email her, jamie@openthedoor.ca, with your favorite way to let your creativity shine. Now, that's all the time we have for today. Please don't forget to go to fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything. Next week at this time on Empower Radio, my guest will be spiritual medium Lisa Busson. She's written a new book called The Lessons of Jesus Christ, and she'll share some of those messages with us on the show. Thank you for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.